Last week, we started looking at the topic of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. And I thought we would continue on as long as it seems to be profitable. So we looked at the first three verses last week. And following that, Paul goes all the way back to Adam and Eve and picks up with Cain and Abel. And he says that in verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks. So we have this phrase by faith in verse 3, by faith we, and it is this ability to interpret the universe around us in terms of things that we don't see. So the things that we see, we understand, came from God, from nothing. And now he's going to start in a historical fashion back to Adam and Eve. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And back in Genesis chapter 3, where the narrative occurs, we have the contrast of Cain and Abel. Cain bringing of the fruit of the ground, Abel bringing an animal sacrifice. The difference there in the narrative in Genesis is not that clear. It sounds like each of them is bringing the fruit of their labor, so to speak, because it says in Genesis that Cain was a tiller of the ground and Abel was a shepherd, and that so that they each brought the fruit of their labor. Clearly there is more to it than that, because it says that Abel's sacrifice was accepted. So we need to take a step farther into that narrative then. And of course, both kinds of sacrifices later in the Mosaic time period were mandated. There were first fruits of the ground as well. But there is a difference between a grain sacrifice and an animal sacrifice, and certainly in the way that Cain was attempting to bring it. The way Cain clearly was attempting to bring it would be from the point of view of this is what I can do. This is what I can do. He's bringing of the good things that he has produced. So Cain's offering says, I can. Cain is saying, I can. And God is not accepting that. Abel, on the other hand, has a different premise to that which he is bringing. Abel is coming from the point of view that Adam had to walk through in the garden that led himself to be pushed out of the garden. Abel was beginning to see that his own works were bad, and that walking farther, that his own works could not be made good enough, whereas Cain was happy to offer the fruit of his own labor. And farther along then, Abel could come to the point of seeing that God accepts the death of a sacrifice, not my works, not my works. And as we just sang from Isaac Watts, there is an exchange here, not just things coming up from the ground, but life for life. And so Abel is able at some point to say, I will trust him and not my works. It's not that I've labored all year long to help birth these lambs and to keep them safe and see that they're fed and then bring them to God. No, it's not my works. I will trust God and not my works. And this is the faith that Paul is speaking of here in Hebrews. By faith, Abel brings the sacrifice instead of his own works. And this faith says, unlike Cain, who says, I can, Abel says, I'm not able. I'm not able. How long does it take Abel to come to this place? I was reading about William Grimshaw from the Evangelical Awakening today. He was a Cambridge grad. Came into, or as they called it then, into orders, probably in the late 1720s. And when he was first ordained, he was just like everybody else in his parish. He would go out fishing and drinking with his parishioners, and that was fine for him. But he got married, he had two little children, his wife died, got married again, his second wife died, and he began to become more serious. He wanted to do more good for those in his church, and so he tried to become more strict, like Cain, what can I give to God? So he started up a ledger of my good deeds, my bad deeds. For 7 years, tried to be good and balance out his good deeds and his bad deeds, and hoping that his good deeds would outweigh his bad deeds for 7 years. Then later he moved to a place called Haworth in Yorkshire. And somebody gave him a work called Justification by John Owen. And then he saw that all of this, these good deeds, were of no value at all. And the Lord saved him through this 7 years and however long after he had been preaching. And the Lord saved him. And he was mightily used in that area. Now, this was during the height of the Evangelical Awakening. but how long? How long did it take Abel to not just say, well, I was there at the birth of this lamb. I'm going to, no, it's not that which I can bring. I'm trusting God and not my works. He accepts sacrifice of his mercy, of his mercy. So there is an ongoing trust then that is necessary. We see the not just a one-time sacrifice by Abel. I don't believe that. There was a not only a process for Abel to get to this point of faith, but there was a living out of that faith that galled Cain. Cain couldn't bear that. He found that he couldn't change, and from his point of view, and I think it's very useful and needful for each of us to put ourselves in Cain's shoes. From Cain's point of view, he says, I'm as good as he is. I'm as good as he is. I work as hard as he does. What's the big deal? What's the big deal about Abel and this stupid lamb that he brings? It's necessary to understand that faith looks different from different perspectives. Unbelievers don't see God's favor. They just know that there's something that they don't like, that they really don't like, that they really, really don't like. Abel's offering was accepted. But there was no intrinsic worth in that which God was giving to Abel. And all he had done actually was been given the gift of sight and an ability to offer with the right heart. But from the point of view of Cain, this stupid sacrifice. Stupid sacrifice. So they don't see the value in justification. And they don't see God's disfavor either. I'm as good as he is. I work harder than he does. So Cain's offering is not accepted, and God admonishes him for his anger. He tells him exactly what he has to do. He says, sin lies at the door. It wants to embrace you, he says, and you have to rule over it. That's before he kills his brother. And then Cain, of course, goes. So that there is this galling aspect, not because Abel is puffing his chest out. There's, as I say, there's no merit in justification. There's no merit in a freely received gift. The sacrifice isn't in and of itself valuable. In fact, I mean, you know, one is a lot of grain and one is a little lamb, probably. So from a human point of view, they're similar. But God has clearly shown favor. And an unbeliever, in some sense, knows that and hates that. They can't see really the difference, and they can't admit that those areas in which God is prospering to the extent that he does a believer for what God's favor gives. Can you, all of us here, see the blessing that God gives because we're His? No, there's lots of trial, no doubt about it. But there's tremendous blessing, and the unbeliever, cheek by jowl with us, intrinsically hates that. And Cain hated that. They don't see the distinction, or to the extent that they see any of it, they dislike it. Here is the Lord Jesus' statement in the parable of the landowner who is paying people various, and I think it fits for the unbeliever versus the believer. He says, "Are you envious because I'm generous?" He says, "Are you envious because I'm generous?" It's exactly the point of view. It wasn't that there was something special about Abel. It's just free mercy. But God is favoring Abel. And it's as if Jesus was speaking to Cain. Are you envious because I'm generous? Abel didn't deserve more. But he had humbled himself by grace. Are you envious because I'm generous? And the answer is yes, of course. And so Cain kills Abel. The believer has to have some of that perspective. Faith gives us the perspective toward God, and we need to have it in some sense toward unbelievers in charity, that God has not given them this, to understand the chafing that is ongoing, and to continue to have an eye for God, who is the one who is the giver. That's Paul's point. God is giving faith. He's giving every good thing. And there are two worlds at work here. And the believer's world of blessing, if you will, is a different world, but we're living in the same physical world. And to the extent that they touch, the believer must have an outlook of charity toward the blindness of the unbeliever and an outlook of thanksgiving toward God in the giving.